Placements are scanned.
A new NBC Wall Street Journal poll says that the Republicans are poised for some huge, big, whatever adjective you want to use, midterm gains. We'll give you the skinny on that in a second. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Hope you're having a great start to the week. We're a couple days in this thing. You know, that's the good news. The other side is not too far away. We're all the way up at the top of the hill, and we're going on. We're going over the hill and looking down the barrel of yet another weekend. Do you believe we're almost at the end of October, which also means we're closer to November 2nd. Hey, coming up in this jam-packed hour of America Tonight, we're going to have a conversation with security expert Robert Siciliano. He had a great piece in the Huffington Post today on security and those nine precious digits. Do you know what the nine precious digits are? That'd be your Social Security number. And you know what that's like when it's compromised. If it's never happened to you, you're lucky. I hope it never happens. It did happen to me through college, and I'm surprised that I got away unscathed. Also, we're going to have a conversation with Melissa Dunay, who had her own conversations with 50 of the biggest country stars in America. And, man, they said some funny things to her, and she's going to share a lot of that with us. She just did a coffee table photography-like type book. I say like because there's still a lot of information in it. Sometimes with those coffee table books, you know, it's more about the pictures and just captions, but there's some real meat in this thing. And if you're a fan of country music, you gotta check the book out, but you have to listen to some of her stories. And then Mr. Dent is going to belly up to the bar. Harry Dent is going to join us to talk about the economy. But in terms of the fact that this new generation coming up, they're actually saving. And of course they're saving because they probably live with mom and dad. Much different than the 90s and this past decade that we're about to end, where so many people leveraged it all and have massive credit card debt or loans that they took out that they're still trying to pay off. They refinanced a house and, you know, I don't have to paint the picture for you. Half of you are in the middle of it. I get it. I feel you. But we're going to talk to him about the future and where we're headed and what the next decade, too, actually looks like. All right, let's talk about that poll. Here's the scoop. We are 2 weeks away from Election Day. So 50% of likely voters say they prefer a GOP-controlled Congress. And that's not just the Republicans. This is not the hardcore conservatives. I mean, some, but not the meat in that poll. That's, I think, the surprising thing. It shows, once again, the frustration level. Republicans are benefiting from the pessimism that is prevalent across the country because 6 in 10 registered voters think that the country is on the wrong track and the economy is going to get worse or stay the same in the next 12 months. Now, there were a few little silver linings, if you will, for the Dems, including a slight uptick in the economic confidence in President Obama's standing. However, not giant numbers. Still, 50% of likely voters say they would prefer that Republican-controlled Congress versus 43% who want the Dems in charge. Then there's the people that want to see the whole board cleared. Take the incumbents out. Just pick them out. Take them out. Oh, and here's the good news. If you're a big fan of Nancy Pelosi's, she wanted to make sure that everybody knows that she will run for Speaker if the Dems keep the House. So that's a bunch of ifs, right? If I had a nickel for every single time I said, I wish. So you know how that goes. Will she be the Speaker? Who knows? I think there might be a giant avalanche when it comes to counting the votes and when it comes to the turnout of the votes. You might see a few of the gray voters who have a say this time around, but I could be all wrong. You know, there's always a lot of talk. Talk is cheap. Action is what matters. So if you have 6 in 10 voters saying the country's on the wrong track, how are they going to vote? And are they, in fact, going to vote? Or are they just talking? This is what I hear a lot of. Wah, 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 wah. So let me just complain, but yet I'm not going to take any action. I'm not even going to go to what I always say is the biggest problem. You know what it is. It's all about action, baby. It's not about the rhetoric. It's not about that. All right, in the meantime, here's a couple of other shots for you right from the top. How about the Dow dropping below 11,000 with the dollar gaming, actually? So investors pushed stocks down, as it's always about the news, as they warmed up or digested news from a bunch of earning reports from corporate heavyweights. That's the big thing. When the earning reports are good or decent or the forecast is better than analysts originally expected, then you can expect a bounce on the market. So the Dow dropped with the dollar gainings down just a little bit. The Nasdaq down 1.76%. The Dow 148. The S&P 159. Somebody told me, would you give us the exact numbers? I just gave you the exact numbers. How's that? By the way, if you want to send me your thoughts about what's happening with the economy, what you think of these polls where a lot of people who maybe normally wouldn't vote Republican are thinking about doing it because they're blaming everything on the Democrats. Throw in your two. You can do that at americatonight.net. All right, here's a real shocker on the day. I was going through the New York Times and looking at a couple of headlines. This was the big bomb on the day. How about Justice Thomas's wife asking Anita Hill for an apology? Yeah. 20 years after, it's been that long, Hill accused Thomas of sexual harassment during his Supreme Court confirmation hearings. Justice Thomas's wife called Ms. Hill looking for an apology. There was a voicemail left at 7:30 in the morning on October 9th, Saturday, where Virginia Thomas asked her husband's former aide turned, certainly adversary, as they put it in the New York Times, to make amends. So Anita Hill played the recording from her voicemail at Brandeis University for the New York Times. And it kind of went like this. Good morning, Anita Hill. It's Ginny Thomas. I just wanted to reach across the airwaves and the years and ask you to consider something. I would love you to consider an apology sometime and some full explanation of why you did what you did with my husband. She went on to say, so give it some thought and certainly pray about this and hope that one day you will help us understand why you did what you did. Okay, have a good day. So Anita Hill did an interview. She said she kept the message for about a week trying to decide whether the caller actually was Clarence Thomas's wife or some kind of crazy prank. She was a little bit unsure, so she decided to turn it over to the campus police with a request to convey it to the FBI. And she said she thought it was an inappropriate call. It was 7:30 in the morning on her office phone from someone she didn't know asking for an apology. But guess what, though? They did confirm it. They did confirm it. So it is true. I don't think she's going to get that apology. Do you? Why? What was she thinking making that phone call? I'd like to be a fly on the wall to hear what Justice Thomas said to his wife about making that call to Anita Hill. Hang with us. We're kicking the can down the road here on America Tonight.
Are you concerned about dropping or losing your cell phone? Are you tired of dealing with cell phone clips or holsters? Then this message is for you. Introducing ClipHanger, the best and most affordable cell phone holder on the market, made to keep your phone secure and accessible. ClipHanger works with all cell phones, including the iPhone, Droid, BlackBerry, and even iPods. When attached to a pant loop, ClipHanger won't poke when you sit down. And for women, ClipHanger easily attaches to any purse strap. Carry a phone in your pocket? Simply use one finger to pull it out with ClipHanger. ClipHanger is in. And Simple has a one-year warranty against breakage, and prices start at only $10.95. With your cliffhanger purchase, we'll also send you the auto hook for your car and ship everything to you absolutely free. See the amazing cliffhanger and the cliffhanger light with its built-in LED flashlight at myphoneclip.com. To order, call 801-719-2680. That's 801-719-2680. Or visit myphoneclip.com to get your cliffhanger today.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Verkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Have you ever left your Social Security number at a university on, let's say, paperwork? I know I did and got burned that way. Do you know that universities are the riskiest place to leave those digits? Robert Siciliano, who is the CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com and a McAfee consultant, dug up some of that information. He is really helping to create a wall between you and crime that is upending way too many lives. He did the research for McAfee. As I said, he's a consultant for them on the 10 most dangerous places to leave your Social Security numbers. Robert, thanks for hanging with us on America Tonight.
Thank you so much for doing this show. You know, this is a really important topic, and it's affecting a lot of people. There's like 10, 11 million people being victims of identity theft every single year. It's a $55 billion problem, and the fact that all these different institutions that are harboring our data are being irresponsible with it leads to many, many people being victimized.
Yeah, what is it with the Social Security number? You feel you're okay, you're filling out paperwork. That happened to me, Ohio University, and somebody hacked into the computers, and then I got a letter in the mail, ooh, your Social Security number might have been compromised.
Exactly. You know, the fact that all these institutions are using your nine digits as your primary identifier as the key to the kingdom, and then they have it in filing cabinets, they have it on databases, and they're essentially ultimately being irresponsible with it because they're not making the necessary investments in the technology and the security to keep that data safe and secure. And once the bad guy gets a hold of it, they begin to open up new accounts under our name. They open up new credit cards, new loans. They can get cash loans as a result of just handing over and forking over your Social Security number by posing as you. Basically, anything that you can do with your social, they can do as well.
Yeah, but how do they get a hold of it besides, I mean, hacking, obviously, but how do they do that? Because, like you said, they're sloppy with the numbers?
So you have, we live in what's called a database society. And in a database society, that means our information isn't just on one database. It's on potentially hundreds or even thousands. So throughout your entire life, you have been giving out your Social Security number to different schools you went to, hospitals, doctor's office, insurance companies, sometimes even to churches and soccer coaches, and when you go on field trips, and eventually when you go to school and to the bank, and so on, different government agencies, federal, state, and local. And over the years, as you have given out this information, again, it's in databases, it's in filing cabinets, and the places in where it is stored, the people on the inside of these organizations have access to that data in one shape or form, again, whether it's in paper or electronic. And so it's the people that have access to it that we, A, have to worry about, and then, B, it's also the bad guys from the outside that might hack in. So you have all these different systems that house all this data, and the question is the information on this database secure? Is the technology surrounding the data secure? Is the computer itself, is it does it have an old operating system? Does it have an old browser? Does it have malware? Does it have an updated antivirus? Does it have an updated operating system? Or is it just ripe for the taking? Does it have holes and vulnerabilities that a criminal hacker could exploit? And all that being said, we're vulnerable to the bad guy or to all these different institutions that the bad guy's targeting.
All right, and as you say, institutions, and you found all these different places. You ranked them for McAfee. Besides the universities and the colleges, I would assume banking is right behind that, right?
So first, of course, college and universities have had 108 data breaches over the past year and a half. Banking and financial institutions had almost 100. They had 96 different data breaches containing thousands and thousands of Social Security numbers. Hospitals next in line with 71. And then your state, local, and federal governments take fourth, fifth, and sixth place. You know, state governments being first in line, you know, being big targets. They have the vital statistics at State House and City Hall. They have deeds and titles to homes, often with personal identifying information on them. And these data breaches, when they occur, all the different victims, you know, they are often left to fend for themselves to protect themselves. And then from there, number seven is medical businesses. And those are such as medical field distributors of diabetes supplies, medical billing services, pharmaceutical companies, and so forth. Eight is nonprofit organizations with 23 data breaches, technology companies, number nine with 22, and then tied for 10 was medical insurance and medical office and clinics at 21. And the, again, these are all organizations that, in one, for one reason or another, we are required to hand over our precious nine digits to them in order to get services. And if we don't hand over that information, then we're going to be denied. And so the consumer is left to, you know, make that spot-on decision: do I hand over my digits and let this organization handle it and potentially breach it, or do I go for these services? And unfortunately, most people hand over those digits because they generally they have to in order to get those services.
Yeah, what, moving into the future, what do you think we should do security-wise? I mean, as far as Social Security numbers, because this is really the problem.
Well, so ultimately the problem here is that once the bad guy gets you social, the idea for them is to turn the data into cash, that they will try to open up new accounts under your name using your Social Security number. New accounts, again, such as credit cards and loans and so forth. And these are all the same accounts that you open up using your Social Security number, you know, for getting credit. And until credit, as we know it, is locked down, frozen across the board, we're going to continue to have this problem. See, right now, credit is wide open, meaning that once somebody gets your Social Security number, they can just go ahead and they can, you know, literally just open up a new account. They can apply for a loan using your information. And that's not going to change anytime soon. So it's up to the consumer right now to make the data useless to the thief. So the idea behind identity theft protection, again, I work with McAfee, and McAfee provides identity theft protection, is that they will monitor your Social Security number across the Internet. They'll monitor your Social Security number via the credit bureaus. So let's just say somebody tries to open up a new account under your name. credit monitoring the McAfee offers will inform you that somebody's trying to open up this new account. They're trying to get a new credit card under your name. And at that time, you can contact that lending institution and say, hey, it wasn't me trying to open up that new card or to get that loan. In addition to that, they have fraud resolution agents that will work with you hand-in-hand to shut down any potential fraud and also to restore any potentially stolen identities. So really, given the state of the cybercrime issue, the fact that the Social Security number is all over the place, it's being breached all over the place, and it's your primary identifier, and you can get the bad guy can easily get credit under your name, you and I can't really do this on our own without some form of identity theft protection. Another thing I'd also recommend is getting a credit freeze. A credit freeze also locks down your identity and helps to prevent new account fraud.
Yeah, there you go. And the other thing is, you said most of the time you could refuse to give up your Social Security number, but you can't because it's something you need. If it's something you have to have, what are you going to do? Like, it's a marriage certificate or whatever. But the mail, people, Robert, I think are still pretty sloppy with the mail. I would think that's also a way to get somebody's identity.
So there are a number of things that you can and should do to protect yourself. Of course, you can refuse to provide your Social Security number, but when you do that, you also might not get the services to which you are subscribing to. Often in the terms of service, depending on who you're doing business with, they require your 9 digits in order to proceed. In addition to that, securely disposing of mail. So if you are throwing away information in the trash that obviously could compromise your identity, of course, including your Social Security number, that's obviously a red flag. You should always shred everything. But even if you do shred everything and your bank throws everything in the dumpster, you know, you can't protect yourself on your own. That's why, you know, I suggest identity theft protection. And then from there, opting out of junk mail and pre-approved credit card offers, you can do that at optoutprescreen.com. Again, that's optoutprescreen.com. Getting a locking mailbox is always a good idea. A locking mailbox is one that the postal carrier can put the mail in, and only you can get it out with a key. And then, you know, of course, locking down your PC, making sure that your PC is up to date and your PC is locked down, you know, antivirus, anti-spyware, you know, secured wireless connection to the Internet and so forth. By doing all these different things, you increase your chances of protecting yourself and decrease your chance of your identity being stolen. But in the end, again, you can only do so much, and that's why, you know, you have to consider protecting yourself with, you know, identity theft protection. I mean, that's really the only option at this point that really will do a solid job at mitigating any potential identity theft.
Yeah, Robert, tell us one more time. It was stunning, the numbers you said. How big is identity theft now?
It's about a $54 billion problem with the B, $54 billion, about 10 to 11 million people being affected every single year. It's one of those crimes that can take as little as an hour to as much as 600 hours or more to fix this thing. So administratively, it can take you weeks and weeks and months and years sometimes. Studies show that 1 out of 4 identity theft victims never fully restore their identity, meaning 25% deal with this for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Robert Siciliano, you always scare me every time you're on, but you give us a lot of things to think about that we need to think about. CEO of IDTheftSecurity.com and McAfee Consultants. You can catch what he just told us, some of it anyway. Huffington Post, great article there. Thanks, Robert.
Hey, and check us out at CounterIdentityTheft.com.
Awesome. Check those spots. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station, but you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCN specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
On air, online,
and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Men, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Listening to me right now, have this reoccurring fantasy that you're debt free. You owe nothing. I mean, nothing on loans or those evil credit cards. People used to save. Then the 90s and this decade turned into a borrower's buffet. But guess what? It's chic to save again. That's what the younger generation is doing. Honestly, they are. Who better to join us on the show than to explain this phenomenon than economic forecaster, our pal Harry Dent. Always a pleasure to have him on. Hey, Harry, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be back.
Let's talk about this. First of all, if we go back really probably 50s, maybe even 40s, people were saving. There was a certain chunk of income or a certain amount of money that was expected to be somehow saved no matter what you made. My grandmother used to always pound that into our head. In fact, her mother did that. And there was no question they had money in the bank. That was the safe thing to do. I never remember them talking at all about having outrageous credit card debt. So what happened to us?
Well, you know, that was the Bob Hope generation. When they were young, they grew up in the Great Depression and then World War II. So they, you know, they weren't spoiled like the baby boomers growing up in the 50s and 60s thinking everything's always fine. I mean, they saw the worst of the economy, the worst of the world when they were young. So they were more pragmatic. They saved more. You know, they planned more for the future. And, you know, the baby boomers were the opposite. I mean, growing up in great times, and the only difficult time they saw was the 1970s, but they were in college, half drunk most of the time, so they didn't even notice that. So, I mean, the baby boomers are going to hit the worst decade in their lifetime, and these new generation, we call them the echo boomers or the millennial generation, they have watched the baby boomers go to extremes, get into debt, so they're not going to do that. They are going to be more pragmatic. They're going to save more. They're more likely to stay at home with their parents a little later, get married a little later. They are going to want to get married and not get divorced. So they're going to learn from the baby boomers' lessons, and they're going to be a very different generation.
So in learning the lessons, do you think part of that is hearing, you know, in the background sort of that noise, that I call it the white noise, maybe the arguments over money that they might have heard from their parents or the stress over credit card debt? Because as much as maybe the parental folks try to hide that, you know how that starts to eke out. Do you think that's part of what is this cautionary tale for what you call the eco-boomers?
Yeah, they've seen both sides. They've seen their parents and then the economic situations go to extreme. They saw, you know, the tech bubble burst and now the housing bubble burst and then next it'll be gold and everything else. And so, yeah, they've seen bubbles. They've seen that it's temporary. It doesn't last. They've seen their parents get way too much in debt and, like you say, have to struggle over finances. And this is just beginning. I mean, this whole next decade is going to be what we call the winter season, and we're going to continue to see debt deleveraging, and we're going to continue to see a demographic slowdown from the baby boomers aging. It's going to be the most difficult decade that any of us have seen, these young people or aging baby boomers. And you know, it's going to affect baby boomers. Because they're going to face difficulty the first time, but it's more going to affect this young new generation. And you know, they always say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I think it really makes for a strong entrepreneurial generation to go through this type of challenge when you're young.
Yeah, that's interesting. Jumping on the entrepreneur deal, more young people not afraid to start their own companies. And when we say companies, you know this, Harry, it's a couple of $100, put your virtual shingle out there and you can do all kinds of things, and they're not afraid to take that leap, are they?
Yeah, no, they're not. I mean, they know the internet. They grew up with the internet like we grew up with cars. So it's familiar to them. It does make it very low cost to start a business and to test things. So they have that advantage. But the other thing we show in history is every time you have an extended downturn, like the 1930s or the 1970s or now this decade, entrepreneurs thrive the most because older businesses have to consolidate and you know, they have to pull out of markets. It creates all these new opportunities, and the young new generation are the ones who innovate more and take advantage of it. So yes, they're more pragmatic, so they're going to become entrepreneurs because they know, gosh, you can't rely on jobs, you can't rely on pensions, so it's better to make your own way. But also the downturn is going to make it more attractive for entrepreneurial activities, as always.
Yeah, what would you say to the people that are just outside that generation, like those people that are in their late 30s and their 40s, who are trying to make it that turn before it's too late? They can still make the turn, right?
Yeah, they can. I mean, you know, entrepreneurs, young people innovate more, but people who are a little older, 30s and 40s, have more experience and more access to resources, so they're often the best entrepreneurs, and that would be what we call the baby bust or Generation X. So, yes, I mean, that generation is going to also, this downturn is going to basically cause everybody to think, gosh, it's a good time to start your own business. I would just advise, look, if you do have a job, keep it in this difficult time and start your business on the side. And when it gets going, then you can break away. Don't just jump off the cliff.
Yeah, that's great advice. What you said, this is the most difficult decade we're coming up on that we'll ever see. And you mentioned some of the reasons why. When do you think we see that turn? You think like this, what's happening with the foreclosures now, this latest nightmare, that this is going to take us well into, you know, 5-6 years from now where we're still dealing with the housing problems?
Well, you know, the worst of the housing problem should be over. We're estimating by late 2012, early 2013, but this broader season we call the winter season, which happened from, you know, 1929 to 1942, we predicted 20 years ago, because of demographic cycles, that 2008 to 2023 would be the next extended downturn, but it would also follow what we call the fall bubble boom season, so it would be a deflationary, depressionary kind of season like the 1930s. It wouldn't be like the 1970s. So this is going to last a long time, but when you get a big debt and credit bubble and real estate bubble like we just saw, the worst of it tends to come in the first 3 to 5 years when those debts are deleveraging and when the housing prices and stock prices are falling. So we think the worst will be over by early 2013. And usually you get a midterm boom in the middle of the winter season, like 1933 to 37. So we think 2013 to 2016 or 17 could be a strong boom, and then we'll go back into recession in the late part of this decade. But this is a season. These seasons last 12 to 14 years, so this is not going to be over overnight, but the worst should hit in the next two years or so.
Yeah, and I introduced you as an economic forecaster. That's obviously what you do. You have a thing that you develop called the Dent Method, and you say it's really pretty much just common sense, a common sense approach. Give me a couple of keys to how your methodology works.
Well, the two most important things is new generations grow up and earn and spend money as they're raising their families, advancing their careers. So the Bob Hope boom, that was 1942 to 68, and then a downturn as they started saving for retirement and then retired. The baby boom was 1983 to 2007. Now they're going to be saving, spending less as their kids leave the nest, and that's going to cause the economy to slow down and all this government stimulus is not going to work. So about every 39 to 40 years, we see these boom-bust cycles of generations. Once in a lifetime, every 80 years, we see a four-season cycle, spring like the boom in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, summer with high inflation like temperatures in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, early 80s, and then, of course, the fall boom, which is the bubble booms, with high technology emerging and low inflation and a lot of speculation, like in the early 1900s and roaring 20s. And then that bubble boom burst and you get winter like the 1930s and early 40s, which is coming this decade. So these four seasons repeat, and you know, the government always thinks, oh, we can prevent winter or we can prevent downturns. Well, Japan has been stimulating for 20 years, and you see where they're at. They're still in a bad economy. Real estate's still down 60-some percent. Nobody thought it could fall. Stocks are still down 75% after being down a little over 80%. The Japanese stimulus only racked up a lot of debt for the young generation to follow and did not reverse the economy. So we think the government's going in the wrong direction here.
Yeah, a great analogy bringing Japan into it, what happened with their stimulus. One last one, Harry. You know, I don't know why this is, but you know the old saying that nobody or everybody can't avoid in this world, they can't avoid death and taxes, okay? So why is it we don't learn more about our money, more about taxes, more about the economy? What is it that makes people so stupid when it comes to money? Some of the smartest people I know that are just practically geniuses in other areas are idiots when it comes to money.
Well, number one thing, you think because you're a great doctor, let's say, that you're going to be a great investor. It's a, you know, it's a whole other discipline you have to learn. The biggest thing we show in our work is that you do have these seasonal cycles and these booms and busts that repeat, but people always, they don't look at the bigger picture. They don't see that this happens, so they think, oh, this time it's different, or they just know the last few decades things have gone up, or in their lifetime real estate has only gone up, so they think it always goes up. Real estate doesn't always go up. No boom lasts forever, particularly rarely past two or three decades before you get a bust. And we get 12 to 14-year downturns every 40 years. We get winter once in a lifetime. The problem is nobody, none of us aging baby boomers have seen a winter, because you'd have to be 100 years old and not have Alzheimer's. The young generation, you know, obviously has only seen this boom season, most of them. So if you don't look back at history, you don't see how these things recur. So you tend to think, oh, this season's the way it is, or this boom is going to continue, and it doesn't. And then you get caught when it happens. And people always go for bubbles. Bubbles, I mean, I was in Miami in the early 2000s, right when the bubble was happening, warned everybody we knew, nobody got it. Oh, real estate can't go down here. And I used to say, well, did you look at Japan and Tokyo? And people just don't get it. So you have to step back. And we show people you can see where the economy's heading over the rest of your lifetime with two of our simplest cycles.
Yeah, just pay attention. Check out hsdent.com. Great information there. Harry, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks.
Enjoyed it.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency. And I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
Alabama high test got me in a big mess. Lion and a white cat, they're running from the wolf pack. They're gonna put me in the slammer if they catch me with that Alabama high test.
All right, so check this out. One time I met Gretchen Wilson. I thought she was super cool. I'm never awed by anyone, but I was sort of awed by her. And check out what she does before a performance. 15 minutes before what she calls go time, she and her band and crew, they get together in a circle, they say a prayer, okay? Then they shoot a shot of whiskey. That is vintage Gretchen Wilson. You will learn about Gretchen and 49 other of the greatest country musicians. In fact, the book is called 50 of America's Greatest Country Musicians Over 9 Months. You have Charlie Pride in there and Taylor Swift and Carrie Underwood good. Kenny Chesney, love Kenny Chesney. And this book is, I'm telling you, it'll make you laugh out loud. And it is a beautiful thing. Renowned celebrity photographer. You've probably seen her shots in Time and Vanity Fair, just to name a few. It would take the whole interview to go through her resume. But Melanie Dunay is the woman who put this wonderful book together. And she joins us here on America Tonight. Hey, Mel.
Hello. What a great introduction, Kate. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It really was just an awesome read. I never do this, but I woke up in the morning. I'm drinking some coffee, kind of just wiping, you know, out of my eyes, the crud out of my eyes. And I sat down and I just got enthralled by what I was reading. I love the way you laid it out. And you heard, of course, everybody heard I gave out at the top. One of the questions you asked everybody was, what do they do before they get on stage? And the answers were really funny. Some of them, Dwight Yoakam said he couldn't tell us what he did. So my mind went, of course, you know, or my mind went there. And I was thinking, that's right back to those Sharon Stone days. Anyway, it's probably hard to say this, but of all the people that you spent time with, who stands out to do this photography and do this book? Who did you have the most fun with?
I had a lot of fun with some of the old-timers, like Glenn Campbell. We went down to the beach, and Glenn Campbell just completely sang and sang and sang to me and tapped his feet and picked up guitars in his house. And we went down to the beach in Malibu, and he said, wait, I've got an idea. And he took his shirt off, and he's go on now. Don't I look great for my age? And he did look amazing. But I chose the one with his shirt on because I just didn't want people to talk. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. And, you know, as a photographer, it's interesting that he did that. Did you find that all these country stars, were they kind of picky about how they were shot, or did they kind of let it roll? Your pictures look like they were having a great time doing it.
There was a little bit of pickiness and a little bit of letting it roll, to be honest.
Wow. How about Kenny Chesney? His looked like he let it roll. Did he let it roll?
Completely. Kenny, I love Kenny. I've shot a few of his album covers. He was my first introduction into the country music world, and he is so amazing. I mean, he knows what he wants, but he's totally trusts me. So, I mean, look, he was all dressed up, like in his Sunday best. He looked amazing.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And, you know, you mix the old with the youth, the older, I'll say the older with the younger set in country. What did you find? Was there some characteristics from both crowds that you could say kind of fit into both the legends, the older legends, and the newcomers?
I think the newcomers have so much respect for the old-timers. I mean, big time. You know, they're like, oh, you shot George Jones and Glenn Campbell and Roy Clark, and wow. You know, they were a little bit in awe. And I think the old-timers, shall we call them, for lack of a better word, were a little more, okay, who are the young ones?
Yeah, exactly. What was Crystal Gayle like? We haven't heard from Crystal Gayle in a long time.
Crystal Gayle is amazing, and she has these lovely children. One of them is her studio manager, and he helps run, you know, she has her own recording studio, and she is a delight, such a warm, warm woman. And the best part of the whole story is I walked away with a ballpoint pen that said Crystal Gayle, and it writes beautifully.
Don't let anyone pick up that pen and walk away with it.
No, it's all mine. Don't even think about it, Kate.
How about Jimmy Wayne? Now, there is a studly-looking guy. And in all the questions that you asked everyone the same questions, you asked the question, what would you, if you weren't doing this, basically, if you weren't a singer, what would you have been? And I loved his answer. He said, I like history, so maybe I would have been a history teacher or maybe a photographer. What was the most surprising answer that you got from any of the people that you interviewed?
Well, I thought it was interesting that Brad Paisley said a carpenter because I didn't know, you know, that side of him. And then it just made me chuckle when Barbara Mandrell said cruise director because it kind of made me think of the Love Boat or something like that. And then Trisha Yearwood said an out-of-work performer. And then I thought that was kind of funny. And then, you know, Darius Rucker said, well, I would have liked to have been a sportscaster, but I probably would have ended up a bartender.
Oh, I like that. He would have been a good bartender, though, too, I think.
Completely.
Definitely. All right, so 9 months you put this together. You talked about Glenn Campbell and being in Malibu. Where were some of the other spots that you went to shoot the stars?
Well, I came to Dallas to shoot Charlie Pride. I went to Los Angeles to shoot Dwight Yoakam. A lot of them happened in Nashville, a couple in New York City, one in Atlanta. I went to the uppermost, farthest point in Michigan to shoot Randy Travis. And I did Rodney Crowell in Vermont. I went to Las Vegas. I was lucky. I got to go to lots of really cool places.
No kidding. How did you, because of course there's a lot of country stars, how did you narrow down the 50 that you chose for the book?
Well, I made a huge list, and then I started my plan of attack. It was sort of like a world war. And I just started to reach out to people, and then sometimes I would be with someone, and they said, oh, my goodness, let me pick up the phone and call them. They haven't answered you. And I said, oh, if you would, just let them know I'm legitimate. I'd be so grateful. Because, you know, you have to remember, these people get tons of requests.
Yeah.
So I managed to just keep at it and keep at it, keep at it. And then by the end, you know, I was, it's impossible. There were way many than more than 50, but I think it would have killed me to make the book have 100 in it.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. More than 9 months, absolutely. So you were on the road. You mentioned some of the places. Nashville, Tennessee, the first time I went there, I felt like I was in the middle of a country album. Did you feel that way?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I was like rushing to buy cowboy hats, the cowboy boots and hats, and I love Nashville. And I always try to go to the same meet and three every time I go there. I love it.
Yeah, I like it too, absolutely. And how did you pick the questions that you asked? I mentioned a couple of them about, you know, what would you do if you weren't doing this, and what do you do before you perform? You also asked, this was a great question too, what makes country music the heart and soul of America?
Well, that's really what I was doing this journey for. I wanted to know, why is this country music such a huge phenomenon? So, and I thought it was interesting. You know, when you look at country music, the themes are really God,
mm-hmm.
music, performance, and family. So I just thought, if I ask these questions, and, you know, I wanted to know, like, if you could do one performance, it's almost like for you, what would be your ultimate radio experience, if no one told you what to do, if no one told you, you know, there was money was no problem and there were no advertisers. Do you know what I mean? I wanted everyone to feel free.
Yeah, and I think they felt free. That's definitely the feeling that I got anyway. You talked to Winona Judd, and she certainly has had her ups and downs. And I thought it was interesting that you asked, the other question you asked was, have you ever heard a song you wish that you had written? And she says Amazing Grace.
Yeah, there were some great answers like that. That made me have chills. Barbara Mandrell said the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Mm.
I mean, that she also said Amazing Grace, actually.
Mm,
you know,
so
there were a lot of Bob Dylan made a lot of appearances.
Well, I bet. I saw them. I was going through it. Did you get to see any of them perform? I mean, they kind of did little, some of them did little ditties for you, I can tell. But did you see any of them perform?
I didn't, you know, the only person I saw perform of the whole entire book was David Allan Coe, and I was there for about 2 minutes before I was so scared I had to leave.
I had to leave.
David Allan Coe fans, don't send me hate mail because I loved him, but his shows aren't for me.
Yeah, I gotcha. So in putting this whole thing together, what did you come away with as far as country music is concerned? What did you feel like? I got the sense, just in reading it, that these people, no matter what, like I said, Winona, the ups, the downs, the whatever, different personalities, that they all seemed truly sincere. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes, completely sincere. And, you know, everyone's on a sort of a common journey. And I think that it's really, you know, my goal was to take a quick snapshot of country music today. And I think it's a really amazing place. And I said it in my introduction. It's just kind of like ancient cave paintings. It's a way of everyone talking to each other and telling everybody how it's going.
Yes, stories, stories, stories. Well, it's a great, great read. It's a beautiful book. It would pretty much fit anywhere in anyone's house. I mean, you put it out there and your guests wouldn't be talking to you. They'd be engrossed in the book. So that's a compliment to you. Melanie Dunay, thanks so much. The book is called My Country, 50 Country Musicians on God, America, and the Songs They Love. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kate.